We are now back on the underlying amendment, Senate Amendment 3.
Thank you. And unless there's anybody further inclined to inquire of me or anybody else on this, I'm happy to close as soon as you're ready, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 3 to the Senate substitute? Senator from Barton.
To speak against the amendment.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I have a great deal of respect for the position that the senator from the first has on this. I share his passion, although it may be for not the same reason. I think, equal passion to try to get 493 out of the House, back to the Senate, passed and on the governor's desk. And I will pledge my continued work to try to get that done. Everything in my power as I work with the senator from the 14th and others. And I appreciate that he wanted to make sure that people understood how important this is to him and to his district. But I would ask my colleagues, because of what I think it will do to the underlying bill, to vote against it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 3? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized. Closed.
Mr. President, I thank my colleagues for engaging in this debate, and I only hope that this will not be the last time we see the subject of transfers on the floor of the Missouri Senate this year. With that, Mr. President, I close.
Senator from the 1st District has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 3 to Senate Substitute for House Bill 1490 with the Senate Committee Substitute, that it be adopted. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, say no. The ayes certainly appear to have it. The ayes do have it. I'm sorry. It was the noes. Yes, it was the loudness of the noes that confused me. The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. The amendment is defeated. Senator from Johnson, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Send it forward. Has it been distributed, Senator?
It has. And it ends in, I think, point 23S.
You're moving for the adoption of Senate Amendment 4?
Yes. Thank you very much. I move the adoption of Senate Amendment 4. If you recall, about, an hour and a half ago, we had a debate on an amendment that was defeated very narrowly by the vote of 14 to 15. And I had some concerns on that, and I visited with the bill sponsor. And it deals with page 15, and I think the bill's sponsor wanted to make sure that those districts that were accredited with distinction had the ability to partake in classification if they became accredited with that. And yet, on the other hand, I wanted to make sure that this didn't open up the whole range of all districts to become basically to not have a part of any accreditation process. So I've worked with the bill sponsor, and I think we've worked out a compromise that gets to what both of us want. I'd be glad to answer any questions. If not, I renew my motion.
Senator from the 14th.
To inquire of the senator from Johnson.
Senator from Johnson, you yield?
I do.
Senator, proceed.
I just wanted to let you know that I do support your amendment.
Okay.
And I will tell you why. And some of the discussions that I've had with the commissioner on education, she has said in a couple of our meetings that there is a problem with the accrediting with distinction.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would be out of the interest of DESE and the state board so that they can come up with alternatives. So it's something that she's expressed to me, and I don't know if the senator from Barton was there or not, but it's something that is important, and so they can create things that are more meaningful.
Great.
So
okay.
I just wanted to let you know I support this amendment.
Great. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. To speak in favor of the amendment.
Proceed.
I've worked with the senator from Johnson. This accomplishes what I was wanting to accomplish and satisfies all of his concerns about it opening up a whole new arena of appeals, and I support it 100% and ask my colleagues to support it.
Any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 4? Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the support of the bill sponsor on that, and thanks for working on a compromise. With that, I close.
Senator from Johnson has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment 4 to the Senate substitute for House Bill 1490 with the Senate Committee Substitute. The chair will attempt to say what he means this time. As many as are of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Amendment 4 is adopted. Senator from Lewis.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Please send it forward. Has it been distributed, Senator?
It has been distributed. I ask for a waiver of the reading, and I move for its adoption.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Thank you, Mr. President. What it does, it expands. You know, there's working groups, but this just deals with the really changes the ones that are from the 6th through the 12th grade. And as I looked at the bill and the work that I did last year for career and technical education and how important it is in our education and what we need to get to have employees for the employers out there, this basically adds in some of the members that were on Senate Bill 17, the Career Tech Advisory Board. It picks a few off of there and puts them in the place on these working boards or working group to help determine what is actually needed in education. And basically that's all it does. It does, like I say, increase the number of members. But I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Senator from Barton, purpose you rise.
Thank you, Mr. President, to speak on the amendment, against the amendment.
Proceed, Senator.
Thank you. And I have talked to the senator from Lewis. I don't think this is a surprise to him. I've looked over his language. I appreciate what he's trying to do here. I'm concerned about a couple of things, Mr. President. One is the size of the work groups, I think, grows more than I believe is good. I wish I could make those work groups smaller right now, but to accomplish what we really want here, I don't think they can be smaller than we have them in the language. The other is that I do not want this to become a school-to-work type process. I don't believe that's in the best interest of education, the theory of education, or the application of education. And I think that the work groups that we have substantially represent interested parties as well as expertise, and that I would recommend a vote against this modification to those work groups. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption?
Senator from Atchison.
Senator from Nottoway.
Nottoway, Atchison.
Does not appear to be in the chamber. Sergeant at Arms, please summon the senator from Atchison.
Mr. President.
Senator from Lewis. I'd
like to inquire the senator from 23rd.
Senator from the 23rd.
Fourth, 24th.
Senator from the 24th, you yield.
He's here now, but I was going to inquire
Senator,
of you before.
Senator, do you yield?
I do yield.
He yields. Proceed.
So you can go right to the senator from Iowa, but I was going to inquire of you, so if you don't mind, we can reverse
okay.
it. Okay, so basically, what I think is interesting in your amendment that you want to offer, that you want to have this universe of people have input on the creation of our standards. So that's your idea. You know, you think that it's important that these people that represent these interests have a say. I think the senator from Barton articulated the idea that, you know, what we've done is, in 1993, Missouri didn't have standards, and the Senate passed a law that created these working groups, essentially, and then from the work of those groups, we adopted our first Missouri standards in 1996. So that's, I think, where we started on the whole idea of who's going to develop these new Missouri standards.
Right.
And I know the senator from Barton, you know, we've gone through this process both with the House, Senate, what these groups should look like. A lot of people have weighed in, and he speaks against your amendment, as you heard. I'm going to not support your amendment either. But what I wanted to point out, though, is that all of these people and all the people that are going to weigh in on the new Missouri standards, none of them had any opportunity to weigh in on Common Core standards. Common Core standards were adopted by this state in 2009 when they signed a memo of understanding.
Right,
because they
were being pressured.
And then in 2010, after they were then written, they became our standards. So I think I don't support your amendment, and I appreciate you inquiring me and letting me actually inquire of you, but what this speaks to is what didn't happen before and what's so very important happens now. So anyway,
thank you. Senator, that's why I think if working on Senate Bill 17 last year made me really realize how important career tech education is. And when I looked at what he did, and I appreciated he did put one person on, but it was just a teacher. And nothing against the teachers, but in the Senate Bill 17, and I know the senator from Nottoway, and I visited with Desi earlier today about this very issue, and we've got a lot of kids that is where
they
need to go.
I totally consent. Only 39% of all children graduate from college. So I'm sure Missouri is around the same, which means that 60% of the kids that are going through K-12 need to be trained for a career, a vocational type of career. So I get it.
So that's why I feel it's very important that we have these people involved in setting the standards that we need in our state to go forward. And that's why I'm very passionate about trying to get this amendment on.
Okay, Senator. Well, thank you for having inquired of me.
Thank you. Mr. President, I'd like
Senator from Lewis
to inquire the senator from Nottoway.
Senator from Nottoway, what do you yield to an inquiry?
I do, Mr. President.
Lewis,
you waited
proceed.
Just a little bit too long.
Yep, I know.
We'd have locked him down. I know you and I had a visit with Desi earlier today. I know you're as passionate on this issue, I believe, as I am.
Probably. I am locked in, Senator.
And I know the senator from the 21st did an amendment yesterday. And we had a little discussion then.
Yep, and I'm actually I'm looking for your amendment. I don't believe I have it.
It was distributed. It is LR number 01S.
All right, I now have it.
If you
Let's
would,
see
okay.
Here.
Let's see, I can get you another
sure.
copy.
Let's see, what you're doing is you're adding...
State Board of Education shall appoint from each working group, grades 6 through 12, a member of the State Technical College of Missouri.
Right. Oh, sure. We talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're adding a couple folks to it. Try to make sure that it's got the career and tech folks that are inside it, basically.
It's, a couple of teachers, either teachers or retired teachers that worked in that. Like I say, the senator actually had one in his bill. I'd like to see a couple of those. We're putting one from business organization. And we can educate students. And I appreciate what we're doing here, but when we look at these standards, you and I visited with Desi earlier today, and the standards, they don't seem to be looking at what's in the future.
The conversation we had today, what it underscored for me was there's definitely a mindset, we have a track where we send four-year students, we have a track where we send two-year students, military is military, but then you got this other group, that's 60%, the senator from the 24th referenced, and whether, Desi says that schools are not penalized by those folks entering the workforce or going through a career in technical school, but
that's what they say, but there's no standards to measure them. Like
But all the schools think they are penalized. So we clearly have a disconnect right now that we're going to try to bridge over the next week.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yep.
But I think we still need the people in place that can look at the whole picture, not just what's in the classroom or what would be gearing the students toward a college education, but what can be guiding, helping the students, if they don't go to college, what can help them in a career track, too.
That's right. You're exactly right.
So I would appreciate your support and everybody else's on this amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th.
To inquire the Senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
I've gone through your amendment now. And
I thought you had it a while ago.
You're exactly right. So, Senator, I'm going to go through it. Okay, so I get your point. You want to have more people involved. So
I want to have the people involved that know what's going on.
Got it.
That can help set the direction for new standards.
Right.
When we're looking at ACT or career tech.
Okay. So the State Board of Education shall appoint to each work group for grades 6 through 12 two current or retired career and technical education teachers who also served or served as an advisor to any of the nationally recognized career and technical education student organizations identified in Subdivision 4, Subsection 2. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there. So on some level, other than the fact that the groups are getting way too big, this sounds okay.
You know what? I served on a task force with DESE this last summer. I think there was probably 45 people there.
Right. It's probably really productive.
But, you know, then you break down into smaller groups right. and you tackle those issues. There's ways to get around numbers.
Right. But if we're talking about having two retired teachers that specialized in career and technical education.
And they would be from maybe one from FFA and one from DECA or... So, you know, I mean, right. totally different lines of career tech.
Okay, so, but if we stop right there, you know, and you may, maybe I'm okay with that, okay, because that makes sense, you know, but then the State Board of Education shall appoint to each work group for grades 6 through 12 a member of the State Technical College of Missouri, okay, so maybe I'm okay there, but then, and this is just so generic, a member of the business community with a background in commerce, a business organization, association of business, or a small business coalition. That sounds familiar. That could be anybody. Okay, so I would
as
say...
As long as they're involved in a business in Missouri.
Well, that means anybody. I mean, any adult is involved in a business.
It really could be.
So I think that's very problematic
to me. Senator, we've got parents. I mean, are the first two in the bill that
right,
go on.
Right, parents...
You want to
have parents.
These are probably parents, too.
Well,
wouldn't have to be, but...
Well, the parents are already in the committee, okay. already in the bill. Okay, so that's very vague to me. That basically means anybody. Anybody could be appointed. So what's the point of having anybody be appointed? Because it could be anybody, the way it's written. And then this is really interesting to me. And State Board of Education shall also appoint to each work group for grades 6 through 12 an individual participating in an apprenticeship recognized by the Department of Labor and Industrial Relations or approved by the United States Department of Labor's Office of Apprenticeship. So we're writing Missouri State standards, and I don't understand why. What would be this? Having somebody who's in an apprenticeship that's approved by the Department of Labor, that part, I mean, so I guess what I'm saying
actually, is, it should be those that, doggone it. That are doing the apprenticeship.
I don't want to put words in the... I mean, I've never heard, but I mean, that's...
You know, it amazed me last year, too, when I was working on Senate Bill 17, that actually the training that they need for a lot of the organizations or a lot of the industry and the unions, whatever, they do a very good job of training, but they need people to start in high school to get through and carry through into their apprenticeships.
Well, Senator, thank you for taking my inquiry.
Senator from the 7th. Senator from the 24th, do you yield to an inquiry? He does. Proceed, Senator.
Thank you. Senator, I'm not going to belabor this point, but I did want to make it. Do you accept that the State Board of Education has been talking about Common Core since 2009 and that they've had public meetings where anybody can go and listen to the discussion, and that, in fact, Dr. Priest, as a executive director of the Joint Community Education, has actually attended those meetings since then. Do you accept that premise?
I've seen the paper trail.
Okay, and she has reported back with what was being discussed about the Common Core at the public meeting, and it's been going on since 2009. So my question to you is, just because you may not have been engaged or weren't paying attention, does that mean that it wasn't a public process?
Would you define the process as open and transparent? And are you satisfied with the process that they use?
If it's, well, first off, I support national standards, so I
probably... Which are illegal, as you know, in three different places in the federal code.
I think that when you have states that are being allocated federal dollars based on performance, and that those indicators for performance vary greatly.
Senator, it's still against the federal law to have national standards. I appreciate the fact that you think that the allocation of resources...
Then that should be settled at the federal level.
It has been settled. It's settled. It's against the law to have national standards.
But it's settled
in three different places in federal law.
But when I hear you talk about Common Core, you speak as if there's a conspiracy, as if that this was all done behind
the cloak of darkness. Senator described them as national standards. Before her today is a Common Core bill. The senator from the 5th described them on the floor not more than a few hours ago as national standards. She obviously is confused by what they are. Senator, a recent poll was taken this month. 61% of parents have no idea what Common Core is. My question for you is, there was a process. It did exist. It took place from 2009 to 2010. Would you qualify it as open and transparent, whereby parents were aware and were allowed to participate in it?
If it was a public meeting by the state board where it was posted up, that's how we do our business here. We post up. We have a hearing. We post it up. We don't make sure that everybody in the state's contacted before we have a hearing. We post up what's going to be heard. We have the hearing, and then the press either decides to report on it or not. In our instance, Dr. Priest, as a member of the Joint Committee on Education, did report on it. She came back and said, here's what was discussed. This was open to the public. I understand you may not have been a part of it or you may not have been there, but that doesn't mean that it was done behind the shroud of darkness.
Are you satisfied with the process that was used to inform the public of the adoption of Common Core standards? Are you personally satisfied?
When I polled my district about this issue, 79% said they were aware of Common Core before the question that I asked. When I asked them, do they support national standards being applied to all 50 states, I think it was like 72% said yes. So for the people that I represent, and I'd be happy to share the poll with you, I've got it in my office, for the people that I represent, they are saying that we do think that Kansas and Arkansas and Missouri should all have the same point system. They should all have the same playing field. And I'll tell you that it goes beyond just federal allocation of dollars. If you're an Ivy League school on the East Coast and you're looking at applications and admission standards and you see a kid that applies from Kansas and a kid that applies from Missouri, and they're operating on two different standards, then it becomes the discretion of the admitting university to decide which standards are better or worse to determine whether that kid has the adequate understanding of academic curriculum to be admitted into their university. If there is a national standard by which all 50 states are engaged in, now we're not talking about curriculum on how you get to the benchmarks, we're talking about the standards that are in place, then I think that there's nothing nefarious about that. There's nothing that's conspiratorial about that. And when I hear individuals who argue against Common Core, it's as if that there's some sort of, I use the word conspiracy because I can't think of what else you guys are framing it as. There's some sort of mission that Common Core...
All of the biggest supporters of Common Core standards, and they might include...
Are teachers and educators.
They might include Jeb Bush.
Chambers of Commerce.
They might include Jeb Bush. They might include Arnie Duncan. They might include all the Chamber of Commerce's. They might include... You look at everybody who's been prepped to support Common Core will look at you and me and say... Under no circumstances are they national standards. The proponents of Common Core insist they are not national standards. You want there to be national standards. The proponents of Common Core insist they are not. And the reason they insist they are not is because three distinct places in federal law outlaws national standards.
Senator, the bottom line is the characterization. The verbiage that's used. I heard the senator from the 31st say that Russia has national standards, and that's socialism, and what other country? Germany has national standards. Well, if you look at how well our students actually do compared to the rest of the world, we're not faring so well in math and science. And if other countries actually are producing better results, then maybe we shouldn't be so afraid of taking a look and see how they are able to do that.
Okay, so your opinion is that what goes on in a communist state, if they've got some good ideas there, we should be open-minded towards it?
No, I think that characterizing an effort to improve results and standards as communist is a mischaracterization of what's going on, and it's fear-mongering.
Well,
you're using language that's trying to convince people that there's a nefarious conspiracy underfoot, and that's just not the case.
Well, Senator, what is now 1490 and what was the bill that came out of the committee that you're a part of and you voted so courageously present for the bill as it came out? What it does is it says, look, the process we're not satisfied with the process that was used, unlike the process that was used in 1994, 5, and 6 to develop standards. Sounds like you had mentioned previously that you've been involved in a standards writing process yourself.
I have.
You have. And when we heard from new members of the DESE's board, as they came through gubernatorial appointments, there was one gentleman from Virginia participated. And so what we're hoping to accomplish in Senate Bill, in House Bill 1490, is to bring forward a process that is completely open and transparent. Everyone's made entirely aware of. The idea would hopefully be the end of the process when we adopt Missouri standards, that far more than 61% of the people, I mean, everyone knows what they are. And so that's what we are.
So is any business that comes before the state board that's publicly noticed that they have a public hearing, that we have members of the General Assembly present, that is reported on and brought back, information is brought back to the General Assembly for all to see? Do we need to have an onerous standard by which, or onerous process by which every single time the State Board of Education does business, that it has to be, you know, going through the process that you feel like?
Senator, of course not. Of course not. But when we change our state standards, which every other time we've done it, and you yourself have been involved in the process, we've taken a significant amount of time to do it. When we change state standards, the state standards, they trigger everything, right? So we create the standards, then we have to create an assessment to test the standards, then all the school districts, they all create their curriculum to get this. So this is not like a meeting.
But it was the duration. So 2009, 2010, you agree it was done in a public way, though. You agree that nobody was hiding anything.
It was done in a way that we've never used before to adopt
But
standards.
It was still a public process.
And the fact of the matter is it wasn't satisfactory to enough of majority of Missourians. That's why it's 139 votes in the House for an open and transparent process. We've agreed, as people who are against the Common Core,
Why are you against the Common Core? Explain to me, articulate to me, what is in the core that you find so objectable?
Well, what I've decided to pursue, my objection is long, and my objections are things that you don't necessarily personally want to hear. So what I've done is I've decided that I'll put my objections to Common Core aside, and I will push for an open and transparent process and let the chips fall where they may.
Three senators found standing on the floor. Senator from Barton, what purpose you rise?
Mr. President, would you lay that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be laid on the informal calendar with Senate Amendment 5 pending. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Objection, Senator, go to business. A message from the House of Representatives. Ask the Secretary, please read the message.
Without objection, we will be on the order of business of messages from the House of Representatives. Secretary, please read the announcements, messages, if there are any.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 510. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Bill 689. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 525, entitled An Act Relating to Food Safety, House Amendment 1, adopted. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 529. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 606, entitled An Act Relating to Prepaid Legal Service Plans. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Bill 610. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Bill 609. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill 675. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill 526, entitled An Act Relating to a Database for Workers' Compensation Claims, with House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, House Amendment 1, 2, House Amendment 3, House Amendment 3, as amended, House Amendment 1 to House Amendment 4, House Amendment 4, as amended, House Amendment 5, House Amendment 6, all adopted. Mr. President, I am also instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to adopt Senate substitute for House Bill 1361 as amended and requests the Senate to recede from its position and, failing to do so, grant the House a conference thereon. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to business announcements.
Seeing no objection, I don't think I'm seeing any objection. The Senate will be on the order of announcements. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your hard-working committee on transportation and potentially improving infrastructure will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in Senate Committee Hearing Room 1, I think. One of the two downstairs, Mr. President. 8 o'clock sharp. 1.
Further announcements? Seeing none, Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business come to the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
Senator from Newton has moved the Senate stand adjourned under the rules. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate will stand adjourned under the rules.